Last week, we brought you news about the CIA's destruction of videotapes. Those tapes may have contained footage of harsh questioning methods, including the use of waterboarding. Now the Senate Intelligence Committee is demanding accountability by launching a probe into how and why those tapes were destroyed. Was it standard practice or a cover-up? For more, we've got Donna Brazile, a nationally syndicated columnist who also teaches at Georgetown University, and Ron Christie, vice president of the lobbying group DC Navigators. He's also a former special assistant to President George W. Bush. Welcome.
Hello. Nice to be with you.
So, how is this being handled by Congress, and what's the word on Capitol Hill, Donna?
First of all, there's been some closed-door meetings and hearings on Capitol Hill, both the Senate Intelligence Committee as well as the House Intelligence Committee committees have convened. General Hayden has been up there. What I'm hearing is that Sylvester Reyes, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, has indicated that he would like to hear from others, including Mr. Tenet and Mr. Goss, to the previous CIA directors. He also believes that there are many more questions that remain unanswered and would like to ensure that Congress is involved in this. General Hayden did admit that he did not keep Congress in the loop, and therefore he is prepared to continue to answer some of the tough questions ahead. But look, the Democrats have been very clear about this. They would like to ensure that the Attorney General thoroughly investigate this matter till we can get down to the bottom of it. And also they would like to see the CIA come forward with more information on who authorized the destruction of these tapes.
Now, Ron, the House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, who, of course, is a Democrat, was one of the key members of Congress who were informed by the CIA that this controlled drowning method of interrogation was being used. That was back in 2002. Do you think that this is really a party line issue, or is this something that Congress, the key members at least, have to take responsibility for?
Yes. You know, we hear so much about investigations and looking and getting down to the bottom of this. I hope that Congress takes a look and puts that microscope back on themselves. You had Nancy Pelosi, who was then the top Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, Jane Harman, another senior member from California, as well as Jay Rockefeller, a Democrat from West Virginia. Many senior Democrats were not only appraised of this program, but it was reported in the Washington Post this past Sunday that, in fact, a couple of the members present wanted to know why we weren't going even further with some of these interrogation techniques. I think this is more of Congress behaving badly, Congress just trying to pull out the impeachment word, trying to say that somehow the Bush administration had something to do with this or the Bush administration is culpable. It is a known fact that waterboarding was an approved method that was used by the Central Intelligence Agency back in 2002. And what has not been disclosed as frequently is the fact that the CIA officer who was involved with this interrogation said that the interrogation of this particular terrorist that we're talking about, after 35 seconds of waterboarding, actually gave forth information that saved American lives. So rather than the Democrats trying to jump on the Republicans and say that the Bush administration's done something wrong, we need to recognize that we still are a country at war and that these enhanced interrogation techniques, at least back in 2002, were directly responsible for saving American lives.
You know, it's unfortunate that we have to look at everything that happens in Washington, D.C. through the lens of partisanship. This is really about our standing in the world. I mean, John McCain, a Republican presidential candidate, has made it very clear that our nation should not be using these techniques to try to get information out of people that we detain or capture in the so-called war on terror. But look, Democrats were at fault, if that's true. They are like the Republicans. They are sworn to secrecy, those members of that committee. And a year after 9/11, I'm sure that those lawmakers wanted to get to the bottom of what happened on September the 11th. It was a mistake to give the CIA a blank check to do this, but I understand what their urgency may have been. Apparently, there was one exception to that. We've heard at least one member may have raised some objections. We don't know the bottom of it because there are no official notes taken. There's no recording. All we know is hearsay, and that's why we need a thorough investigation into this matter.
Ron, let me just throw this out. The U.S. has actually condemned in the past the use of waterboarding. Is it hypocritical to be expedient at a certain crisis point to say, well, we used to consider this a war crime, but now we don't?
Well, look, back in 2002, back in 2001, 2002, the Central Intelligence Agency was permissive. They were allowed to use waterboarding. The CIA has now disclosed that they are no longer using this practice. I think that the United States needs to evolve in the way that they interrogate prisoners, and that the way that they need to evolve in the way that they interrogate individuals who might have pertinent information. But the fact of the matter is, Farai, that we're not talking about American citizens. We're not talking about people who are combatants who are subject to the Geneva Convention. We are talking about enemy combatants who have been collected on the battlefield who might have exigent information under exigent circumstances that we need to get to the bottom of. So I'm not as worried about the international fallout or the standing of the United States. I think if Great Britain or France or any of these other countries that might be critical of the United States for what has happened here, if it was their citizens or their mother or their father or their husband or wife, I think they would have done the exact same thing.
All right. Well, we're going to have to keep on discussing this, but right now we have to go to a break. Stay with us. I have been speaking with Ron Christie, vice president of the lobbying group DC Navigators. He is also a former special assistant to President George W. Bush. Also speaking with Donna Brazil, a nationally syndicated columnist. She also teaches at Georgetown University. This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Now we've got more politics. I want to welcome back my guest, Donna Brazil, a nationally syndicated columnist who also teaches at Georgetown University, and Ron Christie, vice president of the lobbying group DC Navigators. He's also a former special assistant to President George W. Bush. So I'm going to jump right back into this. And Donna, this is definitely one that you can kick off. A third of New Orleans residents might not be able to vote in the next presidential election. Election officials led by the Secretary of State are going to go through the voting rolls, delete people who haven't confirmed a current address, and the entire state, including New Orleans, could lose over 100,000 voters. Donna, why so many people, and what is going on in terms of making a selection this way?
Well, 28 months after one of the worst natural disasters in our nation's history, people are still displaced, they're still scattered, and although there is now money approved by Congress and the White House to allow those who are ready to go back home to receive grants to rebuild their homes, many New Orleanians and others have decided clearly to pitch their tent elsewhere. Look, it's a matter of not just state law but national law. That when you move and don't vote in several elections, that you may forfeit your opportunity to vote. We saw in the last election, the gubernatorial race this past year, that voter turnout among African Americans was down some 20 points. Only 27% of eligible African Americans voted in that election. So we've already seen the results of the so-called purge campaign. I think it's incumbent upon the Secretary of State of Louisiana to notify those voters, to give them an opportunity to register, whether they've relocated to another parish in Louisiana or if they're out of the state intending to vote, as they did in the mayoral election by absentee, to give them an opportunity to keep their electoral status vibrant. On the other hand, the 2002 Help America Vote Act mandates that states must update their voter registration databases, and this could impact not just African-American voters in Louisiana, but other states as well, as you know, people of color tend to move a lot more often than whites. And so this is a concern that I know Democrats will address, and perhaps if Republicans are interested in helping all Americans participate next year, they too will call upon the Secretary of State, not just in Louisiana, but across the country, to encourage these citizens to check their electoral status.
Ron, do you think that this purge is too aggressive, particularly given the specific circumstances in New Orleans?
It's really hard for me to say. I mean, I have been watching this, and absolutely the Help America Vote Act does specify that secretaries of state have to make a pretty good canvas of those who are eligible and entitled to vote in their particular jurisdictions. I just want to make sure, and as Donna would say from a few moments ago, that this is done in a nonpartisan way. I want all eligible Americans who have the opportunity to cast their ballot. This is going to be one of the most historic elections that we've had, particularly with ending 8 years of an incumbent administration. I want to make sure that all those Americans across the country, not just in New Orleans, have that opportunity to cast their ballots.
All right, guys, we're going to have to take a quick march through the election. I want to play you a little bit of Maya Angelou. She is talking about Hillary Clinton.
Hello, everybody. I am Maya Angelou, and I'm here to talk about Mrs. Hillary Rodham Clinton. I know her as a woman, and she makes me very proud.
Okay, we know that Dr. Maya Angelou is good friends with Oprah Winfrey, who happens to be supporting Barack Obama. Could this be a bit of a conflict, Donna?
Absolutely not. Look, the black vote will not be taken for granted this political season. The African-American vote is up for grabs, not just in South Carolina, but all the other early battleground states. This is a very exciting period to see so many celebrities out there on the campaign trail, to hear these candidates address issues of concern, the African-Americans, the economy, the war in Iraq, health care, and so forth. This is a refreshing moment in American politics. We should take advantage of it. I said just a couple of weeks ago, NBC did an entire series on black women in America. We've never seen that before, even during Black History Month. So let's celebrate this new political season where, you know, the candidates and the celebrities are paying attention to African Americans and the issues we care about.
Ron, there's actually an Obama-Oprah question. A New York Times CBS poll released this week said that only 1% of Democrats would, you know, take Oprah's star power and be more likely to vote for Obama. But 14% said they would be less likely to vote for Obama now that Oprah's backing him. Is that counterintuitive to you? What do you think's going on there?
I don't buy it for a second, Farai. I think Oprah Winfrey is the most popular African-American woman in this country, and she's certainly the most successful, or I'd put her in the list of maybe the top two. And there's no question in my mind that you look at the millions of people who watch her show every week and the millions upon millions of books that are sold that are endorsed once she comes out and gives it her blessing. I think the Oprah factor is going to be a huge one. I'm one of the fellows out here saying that I think Obama can very well take it in Iowa. I think he has a very strong chance of winning in New Hampshire. And a lot of this is due to the fact that Oprah has generated a buzz for him that has been unparalleled and unprecedented. And I'll stop and I'll kick it to Donna. But for goodness sakes, when Oprah was in South Carolina this past weekend, they had thousands and thousands of people who wanted to go out and see him and to see her. And I think that she has generated so much interest and so much enthusiasm on the campaign trail that we haven't seen this, those of us who watch politics, in decades.
My little niece told me I had lunch with her when I was home in Louisiana, and she said, Obama is fresh, he is fine, and he is smart. And she said, what more can you ask for in a candidate? I think this is a great moment. This race is still very volatile. It's very fluid. Oprah has not only given Obama much-needed momentum in the closing weeks of the campaign, but she has opened the door perhaps for Obama to capture some of the white female votes in those early mm-hmm. states. So this is a win-win for Obama, and clearly Oprah Winfrey, who is not seen really as political, for her to attach her name and to help validate Obama, this is going to give him much-needed momentum. That said, Bill Clinton is still black, according to many of African-American political analysts, and because of that, I think this race is going to go down to the wire.
All right,
and at the end of the day, black women will play a very important role in determining who will be the next Democratic nominee.
All right, of course, we're going to stay with this too. Donna, Ron, thanks so much.
As always.
Donna Brazile is a nationally syndicated columnist who also teaches at Georgetown University, and Ron Christie is vice president of the lobbying firm DC Navigators. He is also a former special assistant to President George W. Bush.